Country music pioneer Wade Mayer has died. The innovative banjo player helped set the stage for the emergence of bluegrass music. Mayer died Monday at his home in Flint, Michigan. He was 104 years old, and NPR's Paul Brown has this appreciation.
He was a farm boy from western North Carolina, and he did what thousands of farm boys in the South did in the 1930s, found work in a cotton mill. And like thousands, he soon wanted out of the hot, dusty mill. But he was one of the few who found a way out through music and the radio.
Hello, folks. First thing we hear morning, we get up, some old new guy picking on a holler log, something like this. Now, next thing we hear, something down to pig pen, going something like this. Sure, that's old sign, little pig.
Wade Mayer put together a band with his brother J.E. to play on a station in Concord, North Carolina in 1934.
Let's go, boy.
In 1990, Wade Mayer recalled how they landed that gig.
We just took our string band and went over there and told the man that we played music, and he said, well, let's hear you play a tune or two. So we played a tune or two, said, could you boys make it over here on a Saturday evening? We said, sure. I said, we'll come over here and play a Saturday evening. So we loaded up the car and went over an old T-model Ford. Chuckled along the highway till we got over there.
He quit the band because the radio sponsor didn't pay enough. But after another stint in the mills, he formed new groups and performed on stations around the South.
A short life and his trouble, and a few more words to part. Short life and his trouble, little girl, born with a broken heart.
Music collector and historian Dick Spotswood has written a biography of Mayer titled Banjo on the Mountain, Wade Mayer's First 100 Years. He says Mayer unwittingly made a major contribution to the advancement of traditional country music by making the banjo more than just a backup instrument.
Wade brought the banjo out a little bit. He brought it forward in the ensemble. He played some lead. He was the connecting tissue between that string band sound in the 1920s and the music that was created in the 40s that came to be called bluegrass.
Spotswood says it was this Mayer innovation, plus his band's tight vocal harmonies and focus on gospel music, that Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Boys would pick up on.
Those people hadn't been doing what they were doing in the 1930s. There would have been no bluegrass in the 1940s. Bill Monroe wouldn't have had that to build on.
It takes a wearied man to sing a wearied song. It takes a wearied man to sing a wearied song. Wear it now, but it won't be wearied long.
But as good as Mayer was, World War II and its gasoline rationing knocked the momentum out of his career. In the early 1950s, he moved to Michigan and an auto factory job. He stopped performing all but gospel music. Nearly a decade later, he returned to secular music and his banjo and found new fans in the urban folk music revival. Musician David Holt says Mayer's modest comeback inspired another generation of professionals, people like Holt himself.
And he could really wow a crowd with his flipping the banjo behind his back and playing it behind his neck, as well as being a good player. He knew how to entertain a crowd, so he was influential in that way, to the 60s and 70s generation.
And for decades beyond, Wade Mayer promoted the music he loved.
We just appreciate people sticking to the old-time music, and we just hope that we can do it for many years to come.
And Wade Mayer kept performing at festivals, at his church, and at events near his home well past his 100th birthday. Paul Brown, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.